Now, a few weeks ago on this programme, we were struck by something the former Foreign Office Minister Kim Howell said. He implied, I think, and we certainly inferred, that he didn't think that long, indeterminate wars were fightable anymore because of the intense scrutiny and the debate. Here's what he said.
I'm not sure we want to deploy our soldiers anywhere. I'm not sure we could, with the mentality that there is at the moment, that we could ever have won a big, serious war in the past. Everything's changed. And it may mean that we create a kind of fortress Britain, and our armed forces are only used when we detect an Al-Qaeda camp somewhere, and we have to hit them with everything that we've got and then get the hell out of there.
Which got us thinking about the conduct of war in this age of blogs and a relentless 24-hour media, newspapers with a rapacious demand for rows and headlines. If you look at The Observer today, for example, there's a diary by a serving soldier in Helmand province in Afghanistan, which all begs the question, can this kind of scrutiny end up stultifying policy? Can you conduct a war when the public, or at least the media, constantly wants to know how long it's going to take and what the exact exit strategy is, to use the phrase of the moment, of course, and as though these things can be planned with any exactness anyway? The man to ask about this, obviously, is the Prime Minister. I refer, of course, to Winston Churchill, from whom we'll hear in a moment. But first, a flavour of the current news from France.
The headlines again. The Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, says the country is in the preliminary stage of one of the greatest battles in history. Speaking in the House of Commons, he stressed the need to make preparations at home and that he had nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat. BBC News.
First of all, Prime Minister, what is the justification for this war?
You ask, what is our policy? I will say, is it to wage war over sea, land and air? To wage war with all our might and all the strength that God can give us. To wage war over a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in all the dark and lamentable catalogues of human crime.
Fine words, Prime Minister, but what the British people want to know and what the newspapers want to know is, what is the exit strategy?
No one knows. How long?
Well, if you don't know, who does know?
The only person who really knows is Corporal Hitler.
Except that you are the man prosecuting this war, and you read the papers every morning. They want detailed timelines. They say exit strategy. They want to know 40 years or one year.
Now, let us get one thing straight. We are not fighting this war for the Daily Herald or for the benefit of the Daily Telegraph. We are fighting this war to get rid of the most monstrous tyranny that has ever cursed the face of this planet.
Prime Minister, here on Broadcasting House, we get emails every day expressing unease about your policy.
Emails? I get my mailbag is full of all sorts of mails, whether they be he-mails or she-mails. I don't know.
And blogs, sir, the blogs speak of dissent.
This man blogs is everywhere. People write his name on walls. I have a war to fight, and good gracious me, somebody else has got to deal with Joe Blogs.
But people want to know when it's going to end. They want to know a timetable. That's what they want.
Yes, people are uneasy. For every one of them, there are 10,000 Britons who wish to retain their freedom and the right to speak. They cannot possibly tolerate what Corporal Hitler is seeking to enforce upon us.
When you see, finally, the television reports of the bloodshed on the front, the suffering of our own people, our brave people, what do you make of them?
Well, the views of 100,000 rather too rich people are not really there to be counted when we're talking about the total population of the British Isles. I think the whole of the war has to be taken on board by everyone involved. Hitler and his Nazi gang has sown the wind. Let them reap the whirlwind. We will have no truce or parley with you or the grisly gang who work your wicked will. You do your worst, and we will do our best. Perhaps it may be our turn soon. Perhaps it may be our turn now.
Prime Minister, thank you very much indeed. Mr. Churchill, as mediated by the actor Gerry George. I know, the parallels with the Second World War in France in 1940 aren't exact. But the proponents of the war in Afghanistan argue that it's ultimately also about a very direct threat to Britain, namely because the real fight is over who controls a nuclear-armed Pakistan. One real difference, though, is that the enemy is hard to determine. It's not a conventional war in which there'll be a clear-cut victor and vanquished. Now, to discuss the parallels, or I suppose the lack of them, I turn to Colonel Peter Mansour, who's now a professor of military history at Ohio State University in the US. It's a job he took after serving as executive officer to General Petraeus, commander of the multinational forces in Iraq.
I actually don't agree with the minister. It goes to how important the ends of the conflict are. If the national security issues at stake...